Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Good morning to you. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Currently upstate of South Carolina, there is about 64 degrees outside. Inside, it depends on where you've got your thermostat set, I know, but about 64 outside, could be 65, 63, depending where you are, of course, and going to get up to a high of right around 80 degrees today, so should be pretty good weather. Right now, there's some fog outside, so as you're making your way to work, beware of that. Prepare to drive a little more carefully this morning as you make your way on your way to work. Give yourself a couple extra minutes to get there. But we have a number of good stories and things to talk about here on Christian Worldview today. As we always do, those who are truly addicted to the show realize that every day is a good day on Christian Worldview, because here is your true alternate news source. Here is your true educational station that teaches you how to think about the great issues of the day regarding theology of a public policy, as well as economics, politics, and anything relating to the public sector and the public life. So we have an opportunity here to talk about some excellent things this morning, and we thought we might as well start right off with CNS cybercastnewsservice.com culture article. And here is what Melanie Hunter has to tell us. Homosexual book in North Carolina elementary school prompts legislation. A North Carolina congressman has introduced a bill that would create local parental review boards with the authority to decide which library and classroom-based materials will be purchased for elementary schools. Republican U.S. Congressman Walter Jones said the Parental Empowerment Act of 2005 was crafted in response to a situation in Wilmington, North Carolina, where parents were concerned their children were given access to adult content, particularly King and Kong, a book detailing homosexual marriage between two princes. The goal behind this legislation is to empower parents to take charge of the content available to their young children in our public schools, says Jones. When parents are active participants in the children's lives, everyone wins. This legislation will be one avenue to help parents take back their right to determine appropriateness of the content their children are exposed to, added Jones. The parents who were upset over the King and Kong book took their concerns to the school board, and the board took a vote to restrict access to the book in elementary schools. The Parental Empowerment Act would establish review boards of 5 to 15 parents who will review the potential purchases by appropriate educational agency and then recommend for or against such items. Oh, really? So does this really give us some parental control, by the way, first of all? Anytime you give it to a review board or some bureau, do you really suppose parents are going to have any kind of say in what really goes on ultimately? Sure, they might listen initially, but people don't understand is part of the agenda of the public school is to promote alternative lifestyles. That's what it's there for, people. If you haven't figured it out yet from all the things we report to you on the air here, the public school is not there to simply teach the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. The public school is there to indoctrinate students, children, young children, on the ways of this world, secular humanism, socialism, Darwinism, environmentalism, and alternative lifestyles are the main five big bad boys that they have there. That's what they're after. Don't be surprised when your kid starts coming home and telling you about Earth Day and about how Sally has two mommies, or about how they need to start recycling to save the world, or there's too many people in the world, or that his great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was an ape. These are all things that the public school teaches. This is, hello, to use Richie's phrase, hello, this is what goes on. This is the stated objective. This is the purpose. Parents may complain and kick and scream a little bit, but the only solution for them is to get out of the public school. No public school. Ditch it. Forget about trying to redeem the evil institution. It's like trying to redeem an abortion clinic. You don't do it. The only redemption for a kiddie porn firm is to shut it down. There's no making it Christian or being salt and light in that dangerous, wretched situation. You're exposing your children, if you have your kids in a public school, to the most diabolical, evil, subtle doctrines of secular humanism, anti-Christian worldview that you possibly can. You have no excuse for having them there. You need to get them out as soon as possible of the public school. So anyway, we're not surprised that this kind of stuff goes on in Wilmington, North Carolina, or anywhere else in this country. We've read bizarre cases all over the place from the public schools in the South, in the North, in the West, and don't be surprised by anything that goes on there. There's also the whole aspect we've talked about before, the violence aspect in many places, or the teachers raping the young students aspect, or some kind of sexual manipulation of kids. All these things are part and parcel, folks, of a public school. And if you've got your kids in them, you're sinning. You're doing something that's wrong. And I didn't say you're intending to sin, that you're willfully saying, I'm going to go and do something that's evil today. No, you didn't realize how bad it was, maybe, or you continued to make excuses for promoting your current lifestyle. Like, I've got to have another income, and I can't have my wife home with the kids, and I just got to play two rounds of golf a week and have that extra car, and I need more time, and having the kids there would be a hassle, and it sure looks great to farm them off to the public school, the government training ground, the government indoctrination center. Folks, these are lame excuses. You need to take a quick deep breath and say, I'm doing something that's wrong here for my kids. And instead of being this selfish, egomaniac, egotistical person who seeks after my own pleasure instead of others first, like my kids, that God-given responsibility, I'm going to go ahead and repent, and I'm going to get my kids out of the public school. I'm going to homeschool them or put them in a fine Christian school. Now, those are hard to find, by the way, but you can find them. And those kids are going to be well-educated, and they're going to be better disciplined, better prepared for life, and not indoctrinated and have been inculcated with all sorts of nonsense and wickedness that they're going to get at the public school. Now, I don't know if I can put it in starker terms. I'm just telling you guys, you need to get out of the public school. And don't talk about teaching there either. I know it's a fine paycheck. It's good money, and it's easy to do because kids are away during the school day, and mom can go and teach there and make some extra dough for the family. Folks, you need to have nothing to do with the public school. The thing is evil. What would you think about your wife going to work as secretary for an abortion clinic or joining the National Organization for Women? Would you really think that would be a good idea? Well, why do you suppose the public school is any different? Oh, but Dr. Coben, they're there to help the children. No, they're not. They're there to indoctrinate people on the ways of the left and modern-day liberal establishment. That's what the public school is all about. So if you want any more details on this thing, this whole issue of the public school, go ahead and get Bruce Short's book, The Harsh Truth About Public Schools. Just came out not too long ago, published by Chalcedon Foundation. Also get my book, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, and read Chapter 6 on public schooling. It'll help you immensely understand what's going on there and why it is an intrinsically evil institution that is not transformable under the Dominion mandate, and you should have nothing to do with it. All right, I said my piece about the public school for those of you who listen early on in the show. We realize that many people are not out of bed yet. We found that as we watched the statistics on listenership for the show, that it increases dramatically around 8 o'clock as people begin to roll out of bed. At any rate, folks, also wanted to remind you, or let you know, inform you, that the TRN staff is still working vigorously to improve the quality of things by our technological components and so forth here at the Tyranny Response Network. So you're going to hear improvements of range that are going to continue over the next couple of weeks, also as in the production capabilities here at the studio. We're still looking for more donations. We're operating on a shoestring budget, as you know. If you can help out, go to the new website, which is tyrannyresponse.com. That's tyrannyresponse.com. And check out what's available there at Tyranny Response. We have a section for audio. We have a section for how to contribute. A lot of different things you can find there, including our current live broadcast and our recorded shows. Now, formerly, all this stuff was on policyofliberty.net. That page, of course, is still worth going to. You want to go to policyofliberty.net because you can get books and articles and links to great things. So policyofliberty.net is still linked through our page, but you can help us improve our improve things now by going to the tyrannyresponse.com website. Excuse me. TyrannyResponse.com website, and scrolling all the way to the bottom, you'll find out there you can help. Do you want to help support TRN, it says, by donating non-performing assets, bad debt on your AR, in-kind assets? Click this link to hear how you can help. Contact the production staff to make cash donations, and there are links there for people you can contact, and it will help you, and it will help us. Right now, we're in the need of more used computers. If you have a used computer that you are about to upgrade to one of these new fancy models that is only $200 or $300 or whatever it is on Dell.com or something, and you think to yourself, well, you know, I paid $2,000 for that computer like 3 years ago or 4 years ago, and it's really good, and then you begin to look at how much better a $200 computer is than yours, and you start to realize, as we all do, that you've been had, that indeed your computer was not an appreciating asset. As soon as you understand that, you can just pack it up and nicely send it on its way by dropping it off at the Integrity Group office, which is 514 Pettigrew in downtown Greenville. Drop it off there, and we will put it to use. One of us will deliver it over to the Tyranny Response Network staff, and they will put it into use on various projects and things we have need for on the Tyranny Response Network. And your computer, although you wave bye-bye to it, you will know in your heart that it is doing something good for the cause of truth and liberty. Then you can go out and down to Dell or wherever it might be and spend $400 and get a brand spanking new computer that's got all sorts of bells and whistles that yours didn't have. Yeah, you won't have all the those hanging cables and stuff that get taped to the top because you didn't have a USB port in the front. You know, you can forget all that. You can buy all that now for cheap and get rid of your old one that doesn't do those things. And give it to us here at the Tyranny Response Network. So if you can, if you have used computers, or even if you have new computers, we'll take those. Or if you can simply make a cash donation for improvement of our signal quality here in the Upstate, we would greatly appreciate one-time donations or a monthly contribution amount. And you can go ahead and go to the website, and you'll find out how you can donate and contribute to the Christian Worldview Show and to the Tyranny Response Network. We come up against a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Right is right, even if everyone is against it, and wrong is wrong, even if everyone is for it. William Penn.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's npros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
You know, I was just reading through here the tyrannyresponse.com website, and what a great job Rippin' Richie has done in providing this thing. He is a man of many talents, as you can see on here. He can do radio broadcasting. Rippin' Richie can make jokes. He's able to program websites, and he's a man of many talents. One of his greatest talents is shown here on the website under the picture section, where he's doing some kind of chicken walk. And I also see him doing something else. It looks like he's eating a hamburger, so he is skilled at slaughtering cattle to the chagrin of many environmental PETA-type people. At any rate, this is a great website. He's done such a tremendous job. I'm looking down here at this section entitled Media, Related Media and Links. This is a great page to have because there are so many things we read here on the show to advertise for different colleagues and different people who will want to be aware of people to be aware of their product and service to the community and to the cause for truth. Well, this page has it all. So if you happen to be driving along listening and I didn't get that Times Examiner phone number, for instance, or I didn't catch the website for the First Freedom and so forth. Well, here you can go to tyrannyresponse.com, and all of it is printed for you right there. Need directions on how to get to the Institute of the Constitution, or at least to get the address and phone number? It's right here on tyrannyresponse.com. It's already there. And it makes it a lot easier on us who need to read the ads. We actually have the stuff right here. We've got links here, for instance, to the Constitution Party, the Libertarian Party, the Libertarians for Life. That's our pro-life libertarian organization. Christian Exodus, the Political Cesspool. And by the way, before I continue on, I just wanted to mention, I was on the Political Cesspool last night, was interviewed by both James and Austin out of Memphis, one of our affiliate stations. Hope some of you heard it. I think it might have actually been broadcast here live for those of you who happen to be listening at 8:30 to 9 in the evening, yesterday evening. At any rate, the Political Cesspool's link is here. I had a good conversation with them, and things went very well. They're very appreciative of TRN and the Tyranny Response Unit. I also have a link to the Patriot Network. This is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It's based right here in South Carolina's upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom fighter, Robert Clarkson, and that's Patriot, the Patriot Network is here. And he is an associate, I suppose, in the sense that he's a friend. I'm not actually on the managerial staff of the Patriot Network, although I do speak there for them frequently, and I'm glad to be associated with them because they truly are devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. Appreciate that. We also have links here to Libertarian Christians. And did you know there was such a thing? Well, you know me. That's one. There's an entire website run by Brian Morton called Libertarian Christians. The Foundation for Economic Education, LouRockwell.com, great news source. Foundation for Economic Education is where you get the Freeman magazine. We also have the Southern Party of South Carolina, the Sons of Confederate Veterans, a link to a Southern view of history, and to the League of the South, all four of those links. Very Southern-oriented page, isn't it? Yes, there are no Yankee links in here, but there are League of the South state chapters, South Carolina, Florida, Missouri, Texas, Tennessee, Arkansas, and New York. Yes, New York, says Rich and Rippey. He was surprised to see that there is a League of the South chapter in New York. Kind of one of those little outposts. And then finally at the bottom of the page, he's put on here, universities are my favorites that I've mentioned here on the show. Grove City College, Laterno University, Cedarville University, George Mason University. And the former three, if you're planning to go, send your kids somewhere to school for engineering or whatever else it might be that in their plans, especially a science type degree. The first two are great. Actually, they're great for just about everything, pre-med, law. If someone needs to go to college for part of their educational experience, these are ones that I've recommended through my research. George Mason University is the only place to go for graduate school. Wouldn't send my kids there undergraduate, but if they need to get a degree in various fields, especially economics or public policy, this is the place to go. Anyway, all these fabulous links are right here, thanks to Rip and Richie, on the tyrannyresponse.com. He's been staying up late working his day job and then slaving in the evening to produce this tremendous website, and we appreciate that. In fact, I can give him all sorts of accolades this morning because I think he might even be missing the show because he stayed up so late last night doing this hard work. And we're glad that he did. Well, let's give a quick ad here while we're here on the page. The Times Examiner is the conservative voice of the Palmetto State. Are you tired of reading liberal columnists? The Times Examiner features outstanding conservative and libertarian columnists, including Dr. Coben, Dr. Williams, Dr. Thomas Sowell, Dr. Marvin Olasky, Ben Graydon, Joe Sobrin, Phyllis Schlafly, Charlie Reese, and contributions from the homeschooling Sheen family. The Times Examiner supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. You can pick up a copy of the Times Examiner at newsstands around Greenville, South Carolina, or at their offices located at 44 Pine Knoll Drive in Greenville. A full-year subscription to the Times Examiner is only $25 in-state and $27 out-of-state. Email to the Times Examiner at myxl.com or call 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576. And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be right back.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Power tends to corrupt. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Lord Acton.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
I contend that for a nation to try to tax itself into prosperity is like a man standing in a bucket and trying to lift himself up by the handle. Winston Churchill. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Just going to try to get back to a few stories now from our illustrious research staff. Here's a quick note they sent me up from Representative Ron Paul, M.D., from Texas. He says, get out of the WTO, the World Trade Organization. The World Trade Organization, his advice is this. It is, by its own admission, not just about trade. According to WTO website, liberalizing trade actually takes a backseat to more activist ambitions such as development, a euphemism for wealth transfers from rich nations to poor nations. That's what part of the thing that WTO is all about. Even Newt Gingrich, a supporter of American membership in the WTO, recognized in 1994 that far more than trade rules were at stake. And in reality, the WTO is the third leg of the globalist plan for a one-world, centrally managed economic system. That's the problem with all these free trade organizations. Here at the Tyranny Response Network, and here especially on Christian Worldview, we're not opposed to free trade. The elimination of all barriers for protectionism and things that actually make our lives worse off by government regulations and so forth. We're not in favor of higher taxes or in favor of more restrictive trade through regulation. We are against anything, though, that hijacks a word like free trade and then uses it to slam us with a socialized, globalist, secular humanist fostering ideology, like the World Trade Organization, like CAFTA, the Central American Free Trade Area or Association, the FTAA, the Free Trade Area of the Americas. These things are nefarious organizations. They're things that you need to be against as a Christian, and you need to tell people, their elected officials, that you are not in favor of them. You need to tell them to vote against them. Call Jim DeMint or whoever else is in your district. Call these people, wherever you are, across America, and tell them you do not want anything to do with these globalist, socialist trade agreements. You're not in favor of the one-worlder's plans to centralize government, to bring us away from American sovereignty, to abrogate effectively the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence. We're not interested in any of these things, and we should not be. Ron Paul is absolutely right. Well, speaking of failed regulation, we have a story that came out on Fox News this morning. FEMA battles a negative image. Ooh, poor FEMA. Washington, the four successive hurricanes that hit Florida last fall not only left an aftermath of death, property destruction, and uncertain future, but also created a political strain on the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA. FEMA's job is to promote a safety net for people whose lives have been left in the rubble by the natural disasters and lend a helping hand on the road of recovering. In other words, let's just translate that into the modern vernacular. FEMA is a welfare organization in the United States government that gives handouts by robbing one group of people and giving benefits to another group of people. All right, now we can continue. These days, however, it seems that as though the agency is seeking its own rescue from a litany of complaints about its post-disaster relief, ranging from overpayments, fraud, payment delays, and home inspectors with criminal records. It can at sometimes hurt morale, said Daniel Craig, director of FEMA's Recovery Division in Washington, D.C., noting that people quickly forget the agency's rapid response last fall when hurricanes Charlie, Francis, Ivan, and Jean hit Florida in a five-week period. We believe FEMA did a fantastic job. Well, of course you do. You're the bureaucrat that gets paid for it. Look, folks, anytime you have a government regulatory agency, it's going to be subject to venality or corruption. It's a better, more common word. It's going to be subject to all sorts of inefficiencies because you don't have entrepreneurs actually using their own money to do these kinds of work, or a charity trying to provide this sort of social service. You have a government with self-interested actors that are doing a job prescribed to them by the United States Congress or whoever else it is, might be the executive branch in some department. These people are following rules and orders and getting a government paycheck for it, and they're going to have all sorts of inefficiencies in the production of their service. Also, there's going to be misdirected, misguided funds with strings attached to it. This is the nature of government handout programs. It's not a clean thing. It's not a good thing. The best thing we could ever do for victims, or for FEMA or for America in general right now, with this kind of relief program, is to simply ditch it. Get rid of FEMA. We don't need another welfare program. And it is hard on people when they face natural disaster. We're not being unsympathetic. We don't think that this is a, you know, too bad type thing person. But look, Americans have always been very generous. Look at how much money they gave voluntarily to the tsunami victims just a few months ago. If there were a disaster in Florida and people were wiped out and they didn't have insurance, and the news media would simply report that fact, people would send them money. People would help them. We don't need government agencies to do this. In fact, when there is a government agency that's been looting people for their tax money all along, they're going to have less money to give in private charity. But you see, it's all about control, folks. These people want to control your lives. They want to take care of you from cradle to grave, thanks to FDR and LBJ, these illustrious tyrants that reigned here in America. That's what it's all about. And these welfare programs are not part of the Christian worldview. But Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, let him who stole steal no more.
Well, but taking welfare is not stealing. It's legal.
Well, I don't care if it's legal. It doesn't matter that it's legal. It doesn't matter that you had representatives vote for it, that you had a say in the political process and you just didn't come out the way you wanted to. It is wrong to take welfare payments because you're robbing somebody else by making a proactive application for a proactive benefit. It's simply a wrong thing to do. The Apostle Paul also says that if any man is idle, he's to be reprimanded, and a man who does not work should not eat. That's it from, I believe, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. There is no call for welfare from a government agency in the Christian worldview. It needs to be rejected by all Christians, and you need to stand up for the truth. You need to get off of the dole, even if you're on Social Security. Well, that's a hard one. Social Security, that's my right. I paid into that, blah, blah, blah. My contributions have accumulated. You haven't got contributions accumulating. What you've got is a euphemistic language, taxes that have been called contributions for years. They've stolen this money from you, just like they stole other money from you, and they spent it immediately. There is no trust fund with real money in it. You do not have a savings account. If you get a Social Security check, you're robbing somebody else. You're taking that check, You're receiving those funds, and someone else is getting looted by your agent, the government, because you applied for this benefit, thinking you had a righteous purpose in doing it, because you didn't save in your life. You believe now that you can help extort money from other people. That's the bottom line. There is no difference between Social Security and any other form of welfare. And for those of you who are receiving a Social Security check, you're doing so in violation of what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 4:28, let him who stole steal no more. And if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat, in 1 Thessalonians 5. You're violating the scriptural premises, and you're doing something that is against the Christian worldview. And you are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Before we take a quick break, I'm going to read a couple of these state models, which we started yesterday, and I'll read some more when we come back. State model from Illinois, please don't pronounce the S. Indiana, 2 billion years, tidal wave free. Iowa, we do amazing things with corn. Kansas, first of the rectangle states. Kentucky, 5 million people, 15 last names. Ooh. Louisiana, we're not all drunk Cajun wackos, but that's our tourism campaign. And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
The only difference between a taxman and a taxidermist is that the taxidermist leaves the skin. Mark Twain.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but He has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as He did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Just because you do not take an interest in politics doesn't mean politics won't take an interest in you. Pericles.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Currently in the upstate of South Carolina, it's in the mid-60s, 65 to 67, depending where you're at. And it's going to go up to about 80 degrees today. It's currently foggy outside, so take some extra precautions as you're making your way to work. And it looks like in the afternoon we might develop some thunderstorm activity, so be prepared for that as well. Also in the news today, another murder in Iraq. The Interior Minister was assassinated this morning. Why do we bring it up? Well, from the last couple of weeks, all we do is hear about more people killed in Iraq in a state of civil war that George W. Bush and his phony, insane war has plunged those people into. 500 or so people, maybe 550 have been killed, many of them just civilians in the last couple of weeks in Iraq. No surprise after the U.S. is done with these people what might transpire. We're not surprised by George Bush's results over there. It's an insane war that's just caused all sorts of havoc and still has not made the world safe from terrorism, because the terrorists are by and large still in Washington, D.C., terrorizing your pocketbook, terrorizing your life, they're terrorizing any sorts of children that are unborn, terrorizing Terry Schiavo's. Well, they're terrorizing you in many ways, environmentally, ideologically, psychologically, all sorts of ways. Oh, but you're extremist, Dr. Goodwin. Yeah, I suppose I am. I suppose that my views are extreme compared to the mainstream babble that people have adopted after going to a public school and after listening to the mainstream media. Well, what can I say? I'm telling you the truth. I hope you're listening. In fact, we know that many of you are. We know that this show has done a great deal to change the mentality, the mindset of so many Christians, well-meaning Christians, as they try to make their way and do the right thing in life. Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? Well, you'll find they are regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at Prime Sirloin on Woodruff Road across from Greenville Mall. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us for the meetup at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. I believe that's next week. It's at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street downtown. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and the Christian Worldview show on the Tyranny Response Network. Well, there's one that Rippin' Richie did not put on the webpage yet. I wonder if he's showing an anti-libertarian bias. We'll have to talk to him about that. Make sure Richie gets the... Yeah, I don't think he is, by the way. We'll make sure that Rippin' Richie gets that so it can be posted on the website as well. Otherwise, hope you can make it out to the Cafe Underground next Wednesday and meet with these folks and see what's going on with their plans and activities. We're reading a few interesting quotations or mottos that one of our producers, the 14-year-old one, found for us on the internet regarding various state mottos. We'd read all the way through Louisiana. Let's read about a few more of these. Maine, we're really cold, but we have cheap lobster. Actually, they don't have cheap lobster. We've been there several times. It's very expensive to buy lobster in Maine. Probably regulated or something. Maryland, if you can dream it, we can tax it. Ooh. Massachusetts, our taxes are lower than Sweden's, and our senators are more corrupt. Oh, my. Somebody really put some thought into that one. Michigan, first line of defense from the Canadians. Ooh. Minnesota, 10,000 lakes and 10 billion mosquitoes. Mississippi, come and feel better about your own state. Missouri, your federal food relief tax dollars or flood relief tax dollars at work. Montana, land of the big sky, the Unabomber, and right-wing crazies, and honest elections. Yeah, so we like Montana. That's the only one that's really got a good motto so far, doesn't it? Nebraska, ask me about our state motto contest. Nevada, hookers and poker. I don't know where we got this thing. I wonder if I should read all of this. I should probably pre-read some of these things before I go on. I always wonder what's going to happen next here. New Hampshire, go away and leave us alone. New Jersey, you want a motto? I got your motto right here. New Mexico, if I did that with an Italian accent, I'd probably do better. But New Mexico, lizards make excellent pets. Ooh. New York, you have the right to remain silent. You have the right to an attorney and no right to self-defense. North Carolina, tobacco is a vegetable. North Dakota, we really are one of the 50 states. Ohio, at least we're not Wisconsin. Oklahoma, like the play, but no singing. Oregon, spotted owl, it's what's for dinner. Pennsylvania, cook with coal. Rhode Island, we're not really an island. South Carolina, remember the Civil War? Well, we didn't actually surrender yet. Amen. Although there was no Civil War. It was a war of Yankee aggression. South Dakota, this must have been written by an uneducated Yankee, or it could be somebody who'd just still be beleaguered by the false indoctrination. of this public school in the mainstream media, I don't know, or all of the above. South Dakota, closer than North Dakota, Tennessee, home of the Al Gore Invention Museum. Ooh. Tennessee, se hablo inglés. Very confused there. Utah, our brother, our Jesus is better than your Jesus. Vermont, a yep. That's what? That's their motto? A yep. Okay. Virginia, who says government stiffs and slack jaw yokels don't mix? Washington, our governor can find can outfraud your governor. West Virginia, one big happy family, really. Wisconsin, come out or come cut cheese. Wyoming, where men are men and sheep are scared. And the District of Columbia, the work-free drug place. Very cute mottos that were found here by our illustrious production staff unit. The ones on the younger side, they've done a great deed today by helping give us some humor on the Christian Worldview show. And in light of that humor, in its aftermath, we want to go and run to a quick break so we can all recover here at Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Giving money and power to government is like giving whiskey and car keys to teenage boys. P.J. O'Rourke.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Don't you love some of the new quotations we put up there? That one about giving whiskey and car keys to teenage boys is really funny. That is exactly what happens when you give money and power to government. It's a bunch of insanity that goes on and transpires with these power-hungry leaders and rulers that we have. Yes, we do not think these rulers are doing a good job, whether we're from a more theonomic perspective, which I'm not, but those people who are can clearly see our government has gone astray and doing the wrong things. Or from those of my persuasion that looks upon the state as generally being an evil institution and cannot be expected to do better than what it's doing now. At any rate, we oppose the state and all its craziness and its looting and its murder and mayhem-causing activities. It's a wicked thing that occurs in the world. Well, at any rate, on that note, Chuck sent an email in, and we thought we'd have an opportunity to read that. He says, "Hi, John. The remarks by Spooner," that was Lysander Spooner we read yesterday, "an early article by Rothbard yesterday, remind me of comments made by Joseph Conrad in his excellent book, Nostromo. It's a brigand named Sotillo attempts to conquer the country of Costa Guana in order to seize its profitable silver mine. He fancies himself a ruler, but his actions are those of a brigand acting under color of law. the blurred distinctions between what he purports to be and what he actually is help illustrate the pretensions and actualities of states in general. Key excerpt attached, enjoying your show. Okay, he says, Sotillo had taken, here's the key excerpt, by the way. Sotillo had taken up his quarters up on the upper floor in a vast apartment, with a heavy black beams. But there was no ceiling, and the eye lost itself in the darkness, under the high pitch of the roof. The thick shutters stood open. On a long table could have been so large, could be seen a large inkstand, some stumpy, inky quill pens, and two square wooden boxes, each holding half a hundredweight of sand. Sheets of gray, coarse official paper bestrewed the floor. It must have been a room occupied by some higher official of the customs, because a large leathern armchair stood behind the table, with other high-backed chairs scattered about. A net hammock was swung above or under one of the beams for the official's afternoon siesta, no doubt. A couple of candles stuck into a tall iron candlesticks gave a dim reddish light. The colonel's hat, sword, and revolver lay between them, and a couple of his more trusty officers lounged gloomily against the table. The colonel threw himself into the armchair, and a big Negro with a sergeant's stripes on his ragged sleeve, kneeling down, peeled off his boots. Sotillo's ebony mustache contrasted violently with the livid coloring of his cheeks. His eyes were somber, as if sunk very far into his head. He seemed exhausted by his perplexities, languid with disappointment. But when the sentry on the landing thrust his head to announce the arrival of a prisoner, he revived at once. "Let him be brought in," he shouted fiercely. The door flew open, and Captain Mitchell, bareheaded, his waistcoat open, the bow of his tie, in his ear, was hustled into the room. Sotillo recognized him at once. He could not have hoped for a more precious capture. Here was a man who could tell him, if he chose, everything he wished to know, and directly the problem of how to best make him talk to the point presented itself to his mind. The resentment of the foreign nation had no terrors for Sotillo. The might of the whole armed Europe would not have protected Captain Mitchell from the insults and ill usage. So well as the quick reflection of Sotillo that this was an Englishman who was most likely to turn obstinate under bad treatment and become quite unmanageable. After all events, the colonel smothered the scowl of his brow. "What, excellent Senor Mitchell," he cried in affected dismay. The pretended anger of his swift advance and of his shout, "Release the caballero at once," was so effective that the astounded soldiers positively sprang away from their prisoner. Thus suddenly deprived of forcible support, Captain Mitchell reeled as though about to fall. Sotillo took him familiarly under the arm, led him to a chair, waved his hand at the room. "Go out, all of you," he commanded. When they had been left alone, he stood looking down, irresolute and silent, watching till Captain Mitchell had recovered his power of speech. Here in a very grasp was one of the men concerned in the removal of silver. Sotillo's temperament was that of that sort that he experienced an ardent desire to beat him, just as formerly when negotiating with difficulty alone from the cautious Ansani. His fingers always itched to take the shopkeeper by the throat. As to Captain Mitchell, the suddenness, unexpectedness, and general inconceivableness of this experience had confused his thoughts. Moreover, he was physically out of breath. "I've been knocked down three times before between this and the wharf," he gasped at last. "Somebody shall be made to pay for this." He had certainly stumbled more than once and had been dragged along for some distance before he could regain his stride. When, with the recovered breath, his indignation seemed to madden him. He jumped up crimson, all his white hair bristling, his eyes glaring vengefully. He shook violently the flaps of his ruined waistcoat before the disconcerted Sotillo. "Look, those uniformed thieves of yours downstairs have robbed me of my watch." The old sailor's aspect was very threatening. Sotillo saw himself cut off from the table on which his saber and revolver were lying. "I demanded restitution and apologies," Mitchell thundered at him, quite beside himself. "From you, yes, from you." From the space of the second floor or so, the colonel stood with a perfectly stony expression of face. Then, as Captain Mitchell flung out an arm toward the table as if to snatch up the revolver, Sotillo, with a yell of alarm, bounded to the door and was gone in a flash, slamming it after him. Surprise calmed Captain Mitchell's fury behind the closed door, so Tio shouted at the landing, and there was a great tumult of feet in wooden on the wooden staircase. "Disarm him! Bind him!" the colonel could be heard vociferating. Captain Mitchell had just the time to glance once out the windows, with three perpendicular bars of iron, each and some 20 feet from the ground, as he well knew, before he drew it, the door flew open, and the rush upon him took place. In an incredibly short time, he found himself bound with many turns of a hide rope into a high-backed chair, so that his head alone remained free. Not till then did Sotillo, who had been leaning in the doorway, trembling visibly, venture again within. The soldiers, picking up from the floor rifles they had dropped to grapple with the prisoner, filed out of the room. The officers remained leaning on their swords and looking on. The watch," raved the colonel, pacing to and fro in a tiger, like a tiger in a cage. "Give me that man's watch." It was true that when searched for arms in the hall downstairs before and taken into Sotillo's presence, Captain Mitchell had been relieved of his watch and chain. But a colonel's clamor was produced quickly enough. The corporal, bringing it down, carried carefully in the palms of his joined hands. Sotillo snatched it and pushed the clenched fist from which it dangled so close to Captain Mitchell's face. "Now then, you arrogant Englishman, you dare to call the soldiers of the army thieves? Behold your watch." He flourished his fist as if aiming blows at the prisoner's nose. Captain Mitchell, helpless as a swathed infant, looked anxiously at the 60-guinea gold half-chronometer presented to him years ago by a committee of underwriters for saving a ship from a total loss by fire. Sotillo, too, seemed to perceive its valuable appearance. He became suddenly silent, stepped aside to the table, and began a careful examination in the light of the candles. He had never had seen anything so fine. His officers closed in and craned their necks behind his back. He became so interested that for an instant he forgot his precious prisoner. There is always something childish in the rapacity of the passionate, clear-minded southern races, wanting the misty idealism of the northerners, who at the smallest encouragement dream of nothing less than conquest of the earth. Sotillo was so fond of jewels, gold, trinkets, and personal adornment. After a moment he turned about, and with a commanding gesture made all his officers fall back. He laid down the watch on the table, then negligently pushed his hat over it. "Ha," he began, going up very close to the chair, "you dare call my valiant soldiers of the Esmeralda Regiment thieves? You dare? What impudence! You foreigners come here to rob our country of its wealth. You never have enough. Your audacity knows no bounds." He looked towards his officers, among whom there was an approving murmur. The old major was moved to declare, "Si, mi coronel, they are all traitors." "I shall say nothing," continued Sotillo, fixing the motionless and powerless Mitchell with angry but uneasy stare. "I shall say nothing of your treacherous attempt to get possession of my revolver to shoot me while I was trying to treat you with consideration you did not deserve. You have forfeited your life. Your only hope is my clemency." And we're going to continue this story when we come back from a quick break here on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Just because you do not take an interest in politics doesn't mean politics won't take an interest in you. Pericles.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking, and we'll soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
The worst crime against working people is a company which fails to operate at a profit. Samuel Gompers. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
I shall say nothing, continued Sotillo, fixing the motionless and powerless Mitchell with an angry but uneasy stare. I shall say nothing of your treacherous attempt to get a possession of my revolver to shoot me while I was trying to treat you with consideration you did not deserve. You have forfeited your life. Your only hope is my clemency. He watched for the effect of his words, but there was no obvious sign of fear of Captain Mitchell's face. His white hair was full of dust, which covered also the rest of his helpless person. As if he had heard nothing, he twitched an eyebrow to get rid of a bit of straw, which hung amongst the hairs. Sotillo advanced one leg and put his arms akimbo. It is you, Mitchell, he said emphatically, who are a thief, not my soldiers. He pointed at the prisoner with forefinger with a long almond-shaped nail. Where is the silver of the San Tome mine, I ask you, Mitchell? Where is the silver that you deposited in this custom house? Answer me that. You stole it. You were party to stealing it. It was stolen from the government. Aha, you think I do not know what I say, but I am up to your foreign tricks. It is gone, the silver. No, gone in one of your lanchas, you miserable man. How dared you? This time he produced his effect. How on earth could Sotillo know that? Thought Mitchell. His head, the only part of his body that could move, betrayed his surprise by a sudden jerk. Ha, you tremble, Sotillo shouted. Suddenly, it is a conspiracy. It is a crime against the state. Did you not know that the silver belongs to the Republic till the government claims are satisfied? Where is it? You have hidden it, you miserable thief. At this question, Captain Mitchell's sinking spirits revived. In whatever incomprehensible manner Sotillo had already got this information about the lighter, he had not captured it. That was clear. It was in his outraged heart, Captain Mitchell had resolved that nothing would induce him to say a word while he remained so disgracefully bound. But his desire to help the escape of the silver, made him depart from this resolution. His wits were very much at work. He detected in Sotillo a certain air of doubt, of irresolution. That man, he said to himself, is not certain of what advances for his pomposity in social intercourse. Captain Mitchell could meet the realities of life in a resolute and ready spirit. Now he had gone over the first shock of the abominable treatment. He was cool and collected enough. The immense contempt he felt for Sotillo steadied him, and he said oracularly, "No doubt it is well concealed by this time." Sotillo, too, had time to cool down. Muy bien, Mitchell, he said in a cold and threatening manner. But can you produce the government a receipt for the royalty of the custom house permit of embarkation, eh? Can you? No, the silver has been removed illegally, and the guilty shall be made to suffer. Unless it is produced within 5 days from this, he gave orders for the prisoner to be unbound and locked up in one of the rooms downstairs. He walked out of the room. Moody and silent till Captain Mitchell, with each of his arms led by a couple of men, stood up, shook himself, and stamped his feet. How did you like being tied up, Mitchell? He asked derisively. It is the most incredible, abominable use of power, Captain Mitchell declared in a loud voice, and whatever your purpose, you shall gain nothing from it, I can promise you. The tall colonel, livid with his coal-black ringlets and mustache, crouched, as it were, to look in the eyes of the short, thick-set, red-faced prisoner with rumpled white hair. Well, that we shall see. You shall know my power for a little better when I tie you up to a pantalon outside in the sun for a day. He drew himself up highly and made a sign for Captain Mitchell to be led away. What about my watch? Cried Captain Mitchell, hanging back from the efforts of the men pulling him towards the door. Sotillo turned to his officers. No, but only listen to this, picaro caballeros, he pronounced with affected scorn, and was answered by a chorus of derisive laughter. He demands his watch. He ran up again to Captain Mitchell, for a desire to relieve his feelings by inflicting blows and pain upon the Englishman was very strong within him. Your watch. You are a prisoner in wartime, Mitchell. In wartime you have no rights and no property. Caramba, the very breath in your body belongs to me. Remember that. "Bosh," said Captain Mitchell, concealing a disagreeable impression. Down below in a great hall, the earthen floor, with a tall mound thrown up by white ants in a corner, the soldiers had kindled a small fire with broken chairs and tables near the arched gateway, through which the faint murmur of the harbor waters on the beach could be heard. While Captain Mitchell was being led down the staircase, an officer passed him, running up to report to Sotillo the capture of more prisoners. A lot of smoke hung about in the vast gloomy place. The fire crackled, and as if there through a haze, Captain Mitchell made out, surrounded by short soldiers with fixed bayonets. The heads of the three tall prisoners, the doctor, the engineer-in-chief, and the white Leonine mane of old Viola, who stood halfway through, half turned away from the others with his claim on his breast and his arms crossed. Mitchell's astonishment knew no bounds. He cried out. The other two exclaimed also, but he hurried on diagonally across the big cavern-like hall. Lots of thoughts, surmise, hints of caution, and so on, crowded his head to distraction. "It is actually keeping you," shouted the chief engineer, whose single eyeglass glittered in the firelight. An officer from up top the stairs was shouting urgently, "Bring them all here, all three." In the clamor of voices and the rattle of arms, Captain Mitchell made himself heard imperfectly. "By heavens, the fellow has stolen my watch." The engineer-in-chief was on the staircase, resisted the pressure long enough to shout, "What? What did you say?" "My chronometer," Captain Mitchell yelled violently at the very moment of being thrust in the head, thrust head foremost through a small door in the sort of a cell, perfectly black and so narrowly that he fetched up against the opposite wall. The door had been instantly slammed. He knew where they had put him. This was the strong room of the customs house, whence the silver had been removed only a few hours earlier. It was almost narrow as a corridor, with a small square aperture, barred by a heavy grating, and at the distant end, Captain Mitchell staggered for a few steps, then sat down on the earthen floor with his back to the wall. Nothing, not even a gleam of light from anywhere, interfered with Captain Mitchell's meditation. He did some hard but not some exhausted thinking. It was not of a gloomy cast. The old sailor, with all his small weaknesses and absurdities, was constitutionally incapable of entertaining for any length of time a fear of his personal safety. It was not so much firmness of his soul as the lack of a certain kind of imagination, the kind whose undue development caused intense suffering to Senor Hirsch, at that sort of imagination which adds the blind terror of bodily suffering and of death, envisaged as an accident to the body alone, strictly to all the other apprehensions on which the sense of one's existence is based. Unfortunately, Captain Mitchell had not much penetration of any kind. Characteristic, illuminating trifles of expression, action, or movement escaped him completely. He was too pompously and innocently aware of his own existence to observe that in others. For instance, he could not believe that Sotillo had been really afraid of him, and it's simply because it would never have been entered into his head to shoot anyone except the most pressing case of self-defense. Anybody could see he was not a murdering kind of man. He reflected quite gravely. Then why this preposterous and insulting charge? He asked himself. But his thoughts mainly clung around the astounding and unanswerable question: how the devil the fellow got to know the silver had been gone off the lighter? It was obvious that he had not captured it, and obviously he could not have captured it. In his last conclusion, Captain Mitchell was misled by the assumption drawn from his observation of the weather during his long vigil on the wharf. He thought that there had been much more wind than usual the night of the Gulf, in the Gulf, whereas, as a matter of fact, the reverse was the case. I hope you're starting to get the picture of the story that Chuck has sent in to us today, as we begin to see the abuse of the state and its power and the way its feelings are and the people in the state offices are. We're going to continue and finish this interesting story as soon as we get back from the bottom of the hour break. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
The only difference between a taxman and a taxidermist is that the taxidermist leaves the skin. Mark Twain.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but He has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as He did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Just because you do not take an interest in politics doesn't mean politics won't take an interest in you. Pericles.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview. In the upstate of South Carolina, currently you are having your weather in the mid-60s. Your climate, is it? Your climate, your weather. Temperature is in the mid-60s, and it's going to be going up to about 80 degrees today. Some thunderstorm activities possibly in the afternoon, and beware if you're making your way out to work that there's a fair amount of fog outside, so take precaution as you're making your way out to work. Well, if you're just joining us, we've been reading a rather long tale here for the last 20 minutes of the show, and we're going to finish up the final section of it now, based on an email sent in by Chuck after commenting on listening to the remarks by Rothbard and Spooner regarding the nature of the state. And it's an interesting story about this Englishman, Mitchell, who's been harassed by the Spanish-speaking country's customs bureaucrat. And we're going to go ahead and go right back into that story for those of you who have been listening to catch back on to the theme here. How in the name of all that marvelous did the confounded fellow get wind of the affair? Was the first question he asked directly after the bang, clatter, and flash of the open door, which was closed again almost before he could lift his dropped head, informed him that he had a companion of captivity. Dr. Monaghan's voice stopped muttering curses in English and Spanish. "Is it you, Mitchell?" he made answer surlily. "I struck my forehead against this confounded wall with enough force to fell an ox. Where are you?" Captain Mitchell, accustomed to the darkness, could make out the doctor stretching out his hand blindly. "I'm sitting here on the floor. Don't fall over my legs," Captain Mitchell's voice announced with great dignity of tone. The doctor, entreated not to walk about in the dark, sank down to the ground too. The two prisoners of Sotillo, with their heads nearly touching, began to exchange confidences. "Yes," the doctor related how, in a low tone to Captain Mitchell's vehement curiosity, "we have been nabbed by old Viola's place. In old Viola's place. It seems that one of their pickets, commanded by an officer, pushed as far as the town gate. They had orders not to enter, but to bring along every soul they could find in the plain. We had been talking there with the door open, and no doubt they saw the glimmer of our light. They must have been making their approaches for some time. The engineer laid himself on a bench in a recess by the fireplace, and I went upstairs to have a look. I hadn't heard any sound from there for a long time. Old Viola, as soon as he saw me come up, lifted his arm for silence. I stole in on tiptoe, but by Jove, his wife is lying down, had gone to sleep. The woman had actually dropped off to sleep. Senor Doctor, Viola whispers to me, it looks as if her oppression was going to get better. Yes, I said, very much surprised. Your wife is a wonderful woman, Giorgio. Just then, a shot was fired in the kitchen, which made us jump and cover as if at a thunderclap. It seems that the party of soldiers had stolen quite close up, and one of them had crept up to the door. He looked in, thought there was no one there, and holding his rifle ready, entered quietly. The chief told me he had just closed his eyes for a moment. When he opened them, he saw the men already in the middle of the room, peering into the dark corners. The chief was so startled that without thinking, he made one leap from the recess right out in front of the fireplace. The soldier, no less startled, up with his rifle and pulls the trigger, deafening and signing to the engineer, but in his flurry missing him completely. But look what happens. At the noise of the report, the sleeping woman sat up, as if removed by a spring, with a shriek. The children, Gian Battista, save the children. I have it in my ears now. It was the truest cry of distress I ever heard. I stood up paralyzed. But the old husband ran across the bedside, stretching out his hands. She clung to them. I could see her eyes so glazed. The old fellow lowered her down to the pillows and looked around at me. She was dead. All this took less than 5 minutes, and then I ran down to see what was the matter. It was no use of any resistance. Nothing we could say availed anything with the officer, so I volunteered to go up with a couple of soldiers and fetch down old Viola. He was sitting at the foot of the bed, looking at his wife's face. He did not seem to hear what I said, and after I had pulled out the sheet over his head, he got up and followed us downstairs quietly in a short and thoughtful way. They marched us off a long road, leaving the door open and the candle burning. The chief engineer strode on without a word, but I looked back once or twice at the feeble gleam. After we had gone some considerable distance, the Garibaldino, who was walking by my side, suddenly said, I have buried many men on battlefields in this continent. The priests talk of consecrated ground. Bah! All the earth is made by God as holy, but the sea, which knows nothing of kings and priests and tyrants, is the holiest of all. Doctor, I should like to bury her in the sea. No mummeries, no candles, incense, no holy water mumbled over by priests. The spirit of liberty is upon the waters. Amazing old man. He was saying all of this in an undertone as if talking to himself. Yes, yes, interrupted Captain Mitchell impatiently. Poor old chap. But we have you any idea how that ruffian Sotillo obtained this information? He did not get hold of any of our cargadores who helped with the truck, did he? But no, it is impossible. These were picked men we've had in our boats for these 5 years, and I paid them myself specially for the job, with instructions to keep out of the way for 24 hours at least. I saw them with my own eyes march on with the Italians to the railway yards. The chief promised to give them rations as long as they wanted to remain there. Well, said the doctor slowly, I can tell you that you may say goodbye forever to your best lighter and to the capataz de cargadores. At this, Captain Mitchell scrambled up to his feet in the excess of his excitement. The doctor, without giving him time to exclaim, stated briefly the part played by Hirsch during the night. Captain Mitchell was overcome. Drowned, he muttered in a bewildered and appalled whisper. Drowned afterward, he kept still, apparently listening, but too absorbed in the news of the catastrophe to follow the doctor's narrative with attention. The doctor had taken up such an attitude in perfect ignorance till at last Sotillo was induced to have Hirsch brought him to repeat the whole story, which was got out of him and with the greatest difficulty, because every moment he would break out into lamentations. At last Hirsch was led away, looking more dead than alive, and shut up in one of the upstairs rooms to be close at hand, the doctor keeping up his character of a man not admitted to the inner councils of the San Tome administration, remarked that the story sounded a little incredible. Of course, he said, he couldn't tell what had been the action of the Europeans. He had been exclusively occupied in his own work in looking after the wounded, and also attending Don Jose Avellanos he had succeeded in assuming so well a tone of impartial indifference that Sotillo seemed to completely be deceived. Until then, a show of regular inquiry had been kept up. One of the officers sitting at the table wrote down in the questions and the answers to the others. Lounging about the room, listened attentively, puffing at their long cigars and keeping their eyes on the doctor. But at that point, Sotillo ordered everybody out. Well, this is something of an interesting story of history, folks. I know it was long to read today. I appreciate Chuck sending it in. The whole theme is for us to occupy ourselves and our minds on the true nature of the state, the true nature of what happens in bureaucracies, and the tyranny that reigns everywhere in the land. For all the world, as they said, is overcome with tyranny and oppression. Only on the seas may one find liberty, for that's the last place we can go and actually be free. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Giving money and power to government is like giving whiskey and car keys to teenage boys. P.J. O'Rourke.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And just a couple of reminders for you today. Remember to support the Times Examiner. The Times Examiner is a fledgling newspaper. Actually, it's been around for almost a decade now, but really struggling financially. We want to make sure this paper stays afloat, and you can do that by help do that by simply subscribing to the paper, $25 per year. It's not like it's a big fee. $27 if you live out of state. That's for you Christian Exodus folks to take note of. And also, if any of you have a business here locally in the upstate of South Carolina, this is a great place to advertise it. So if you have a chance to do so, give Bob Dill a call at 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576, and take out an ad. I also want to remind you about the Institute on the Constitution, which has been going on now every week for the last 6 weeks. Started on April 11th at the South Point Baptist Church, 203 Ina Marie Lane in Pelzer, South Carolina. You're quarterly invited to join friends and neighbors for a wonderful opportunity to learn about American history, the underlying biblical principles on which our government is based, and the history of the drafting and ratification of the Constitution of the United States. In fact, they're just talking about the Constitution now in great detail. I was there last Monday, enjoyed the program there, and I think that you'll enjoy it too if you have a chance to get out there. Call Pastor Tony Romo at 864-269-1443 for information to register. If you missed any of that information, go to the new website that Rip and Richie has created called the Tyranny Response, or just tyrannyresponse.com. You go to tyrannyresponse.com and you'll find out under the related media link, the events link, all the information you need on these particular items of interest. Also want to give you some information on a few other items, such as I'm looking on my webpage trying to find this thing, and I can't see it here. Well, we have the First Freedom and the Nationalist Times. The Nationalist Times is a politically correct monthly newspaper that has reported on the progress of the Christian Worldview program since it began. The TRN listeners can obtain a free postpaid sample copy by calling Nelson at 864-642-4315. Visit the Times website, anu.org. Mention this ad for a big discount on your subscription. The Nationalist Times picks up where the liberal media leave off and salutes Dr. Coben's pioneering broadcast work. So be sure to get a copy of that. And that is under the related media links on the tyrannyresponse.com homepage. Please do spread the word about TRN. We do need new computers. We do need used computers. If you want to drop off your used computers, drop off a little bit of cash at the Integrity Group office, 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. We'll be able to just give it to the receptionist, and then we'll take it to the correct people to improve our signal quality, to improve our production quality. Again, the Tyranny Response Network has only started in January, relatively new network here in the upstate of South Carolina, and a great webcast can be heard all over the world. But we are in need, and because of growing pains, in need of continuing to expand our equipment base. And so you can help out by simply dropping off an old computer that you're no longer using anymore, a small cash donation, or even a new computer. And you can take it to 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Appreciate the help. There's also other ways you can help, and if you go to the website, tyrannyresponse.com, and you search down to the scroll down to the bottom of the page, the home page, you'll see there's some links there on how you can help out the Tyranny Response Network and this show, Christian Worldview, with Dr. John Coben. Well, our research staff, illustrious research staff, sent up some other articles for us, but we're going to jump to a quick break if we can, and when we come back, we're going to read a couple of these stories and close out the show for today. You're listening again to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Just because you do not take an interest in politics doesn't mean politics won't take an interest in you. Pericles.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian Worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
The worst crime against working people is a company which fails to operate at a profit. Samuel Gompers. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
I was remiss in mentioning earlier today that our phone line is still down, and if you have a question or comment for the show, you need to use our backup line, 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Look forward to hearing your questions and comments. And our production staff is working vigorously, as much as volunteers can, to resolve the problem we have with our phone lines here. So pardon the inconvenience. 864-201-6955 is the call-in number for the show today. Why isn't Bush on the dock? A reputation in tatters. An article by Paul Craig Roberts came out. Good article. We'll just read a few excerpts from it. George W. Bush and his gang of neocon warmongers have destroyed America's reputation. It's likely to stay destroyed because at this point, the only way to restore America's reputation would be to impeach and convict President Bush for intentionally deceiving Congress and the American people in order to start a war of aggression against a country that posed no threat to the United States of America can redeem itself only by holding Bush accountable. He goes on to say, abundant evidence now exists in the public domain to convict George W. Bush of the crime of the century, the secret Bush government memo dated July 23rd, 2002, leaked to the Sunday Times May 1st, 2005, reports that Bush wanted to remove Saddam through military action justified by the conjunction of terrorism and the world and the weapons of mass destruction. But the intelligence and facts were being fixed around the policy. But the case was thin. Saddam was not threatening his neighbors, and weapons of mass destruction capability was less than that of Libya, North Korea, or Iran. The UK Attorney General said that the desire for regime change was not a legal base for military action. There were three possible legal bases: self-defense, humanitarian intervention, or UNSC authorization. The first and second could not be the base of this cause. Relying on UNSCR 1205 of 3 years ago would be difficult. The memo is the mother of all smoking guns. So here we have George W. Bush being accused by Paul Craig Roberts, who's a pretty well-renowned scholar and journalist, of being a traitor and needing to be impeached, convicted. Interesting. We don't disagree here. Repeal the 17th Amendment, says Thomas J. DiLorenzo. The 17th Amendment prohibited or changed things so that the legislatures of states no longer elected their two senators. Instead, took it to a more popular vote in within each state. SJ Resolution 35 reads, resolve the 17th Article of Amendment to the Constitution of the United States is hereby repealed. That Section 1, Section 2 reads, the Senate of the United States shall be comprised of two senators from each state, chosen by the legislature thereof for 6 years. This was the original design of the Founding Fathers. U.S. senators were not to be directly elected by the voting public until 1914. Thus, SJ Resolution 35 proposes a return to the founding principles and is therefore a most revolutionary idea. Well, that's an interesting comment. We appreciate that, and I think there were some reasons why you had the 17th Amendment in the first place, because monopolists were using manipulative techniques. But I think, in fact, we could get rid of the 17th Amendment and be better off. Well, at the end of the show here, we have a caller on the line. We'd like to welcome you to Christian Worldview. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, this is Chuck. Good morning.
Good morning, Chuck. I appreciate you calling this morning.
We're glad to. Y'all doing okay?
We are. How about you?
Yeah, doing fine, thank you.
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to follow up. I get to hear your show a lot of times delayed over the internet. I heard Friday's show, and it was something that intrigued me. You had an email from Moise, I think it was.
Yes.
And he was talking about his trouble with his chauffeur. Pretty bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to propose a solution. I believe what he's talking about is an allegory.
I think it was. That was the one about Sam, wasn't it? The uncle?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Coming back to me.
And I think that's a clue. He wanted to be called Uncle. Well, you know, this Uncle Sam, wouldn't that be kind of an allegory for our situation with the government?
It sure seems.
He's lost control.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it sure seems to be. In fact, Richie and I sort of picked up on that sarcasm a little bit. We had a little bit of fun with that, and I hope most listeners, maybe they didn't quite get the allegory, but the idea of the chauffeur being hired and then ending up abusing the master, writing his own paycheck, telling how to educate his kids, and so forth. This is precisely what the government has done in America. It was created to be our servant, to help us with collective defense, and instead has become our master, indeed the one who rules over us in every detail of our lives, right down to our families. I think that was the point of the whole story, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it reminds me of a funny poster. We have a co-worker of mine got a catalog from a company called Demotivation, Inc., and it's great. You see the motivational posters, and they put up in a lot of businesses, about teamwork or achievement or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, he had one in particular. It was called Meetings. You know, and it's got a picture of hands reaching across a conference table toward each other. And then at the bottom says, none of us is as dumb as all of us.
Okay.
and that's the situation for Moise, I think. And you read it, and it's spectacularly stupid. You think nobody could be this dumb. Nobody could get in this bad a situation. But yet together we are. We don't pay attention and we let things get away from us, you know, in a really an unbelievable man.
Yeah, that it's so true. And yeah, and people just figure it's not going to get any better, but it's not going to get that bad that I can't live under it, and they just put up with stuff. That's why we have national ID cards, and that's why people aren't and it passes the Senate and the House. Excuse me, the Senate, 100-1 by 100-1 vote. That's why we have Patriot Act that's going to be renewed. It's not going to end up sunsetting. I mean, it's incredible. People do not complain. They're willing to take it, all these losses of liberties.
Yeah, the risk of asking to repeat something you may have said earlier today, do you know of any actions being taken against this national ID? Anything we can do?
Well, as far as I know, there's the Libertarians and Constitutional Party people are squawking about it, but there has, and Ron Paul is, but we've seen no real action against it at all. It's just been railroaded right through, and we're going to have this national ID card, apparently, or these standards. But, you know, Chuck, we've actually just run up against the very back end of the show here. We're going to have to cut off our call here for today, unfortunately, and appreciate you calling. All right.
Great talking to you. Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks, Chuck. We appreciate you calling. Sorry we didn't have more time to talk today, but we've come right up to the end of Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Okay.
And we look forward to seeing you all again tomorrow morning here, right here, where you can learn to think a little bit deeper on Christian Worldview. Until then, God bless you.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.